Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of 12th Hour Cross Fellowship Church of Turning Point, Israelites out of 12th Hour in the Over Texas. Today is July 22, 2023, or the 58th, 2027. We will start our first service day with a song entitled, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Yahshua's Blood and Righteousness. My hope is built on nothing less than Yahshua's blood and righteousness. I do not trust the sweetest friend, the holy lean on Yahshua's name. My hope is built on nothing less than Yahshua's blood and righteousness. My hope is built on nothing less than Yahshua's blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, the holy lean on Yahshua's name. On Yahshua the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sink inside. All other ground is sink inside. When darkness veils his lovely face, other stone his unchanging grace. And every fire and stormy gale, anchor holds within the veil. On Yahshua the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant of his blood, support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Yahshua the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Just in his righteousness alone, hopeless to stand before the throne. On Yahshua the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Righteousness by grace, righteousness by faith, and the righteousness of the Yahshua. Let's turn to our prayer thoughts. That's the name of our sermon. Let's turn to our prayer thoughts. Thought taken from Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of the circumcision? Much every way. Chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of the Yahweh. So we're Jews, we're the descendants of the Jews. We have been committed unto us the oracles of Yahweh. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of the Yahweh? It is the faith of God without effect. Well, let's back up and do it again. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith in the blood of the Son Yahshua without effect. For the Yahweh the Father forbid, yea, let the Yahweh be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy saying, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of the Yahshua, the Son, what shall we say? Is the Son Yahshua unrighteous, who taketh vengeance, or speak as a man? He says, Yahweh forbid. For then how shall Yahshua, the Son, judge the world? Because the Father said he sent his Son down here and he gave him judgment. That's one thing, he made him a judge of this world as well as a high priest. He said he'd give him the final judgment. For if the truth of the Yahshua hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner, and not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, and no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, what does that mean, there's none righteous, no, not one? Well, let's turn back to Psalms 14 and Psalms 53, and let's read about who it is that's not righteous. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no Yahweh. For they are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good. For the Yahweh, or Yahshua, the Son, looked down from the heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek the Father Yahweh. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people, as they eat bread, and call not upon the Yahshua? There were they in the great fear, for Yahweh is in the generation of the righteous. Now keep that in mind. And we're in that generation now of the 12th periodic hour. We're in the final generation. And we're in the generation when the righteous come forward, 144,000 army. Now the Adventist Church is the first fruits harvest. They come forward. And so we are in the generation. The last periodic hour, the 12th, is that generation. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because Yahshua is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Yahshua bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob. Oh, yeah, Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Okay, there you have it, Psalms chapter 14. So who is the one that's not righteous? The fool that said in his heart, there is no Yahweh. Okay, let's go back now to Romans chapter 3. He says, verse 7, for if the truth is yes, Yahweh, Yahshua hath more about it through my lie unto his glory, while yet am I also judged as a sinner, and not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm what we say. Let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? Okay. It says the conclusion here in between the first, all are guilty before Yahweh. Verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? In other words, are we Jews better than the Gentiles? No, in no way. No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. We can put that preposition with. It also would fit there. That they are all with sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Okay. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after the Yahweh. They are all gone out of the way. Together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And that one there in Psalm 14 says, the fool, he don't do good. He said in his heart there's no Yahweh. He don't do anything right. Okay. Verse 14. Whose mouth is full of the criticism and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Okay, let's just cut that short on our prayer thought. We've got the meat of it. Let's go now into righteousness by grace, righteousness by faith, and the righteousness of the Yahshua on two timely greetings, number 39. It says, there is much talk among us about the righteousness by the grace. And when Vitiel says there's much talk about us, he's a shepherd right at the time. But he's including the Adventist Church as this us. We in the Adventist Church. Because the Adventist Church was talking a whole lot about righteousness by faith and grace after Jones and Wagner in 1888. Okay, it says that. But of what profit will all this talk be to us unless we do something to find out what these really are and how to make them our own. We should therefore not fail in this, and we cannot fail if we seek the Yahshua wholeheartedly as we study through the concrete example that the Spirit of the Truth has placed at my house. Okay. To begin the study, I shall call two verses of the Scripture. First from the Romans, then from the Hebrews. Hebrews 11:6. And if by the grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. We are called into the election of the Yeshua, the Son, says the Scripture, not because of any good works of our own, but through the Yeshua's grace, we are therefore invited to become antitypical apostolic believers in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yeshua, Romans chapter, or Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, Romans 3:24 and 25. For the children of Yahweh, not because we deserve to be adopted by Him, but because of His favor that toward us in. Indeed, there is no other way in that we can be saved. For we all have sinned, and therefore, how can we be saved except we, through His grace, forgive us our sin and start us out anew? Well, this is a new concept to the plan of salvation if we let this statement that I just read stand. Okay, because it's obvious today, as the light has unfolded on the subject, that we are saved through the blood, believing in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, that by the blood of sprinkling, Hebrews 12:18-24. Forgive us our sins. Let us continue to read. Through His grace, forgive us our sin, and start us out anew. This is what is called a new birth, the sum of which is that we deserve no credit, no coming into the household of the Yahweh. The credit is His. Now, when are we recognized as being newly converted? When we come into contact with present truth and we accept it, then we rejoice in it, and it starts a revival in our hearts. That's where the Spirit is revived. It's in our individual hearts as we accept present truth. Okay? So, when were you born again? I was born again in 1970. When I accepted the present truth from Brother Steady Johnson. By our natural birth, we are born sinners. Now this here is very wrong. This is a wrong statement. Why would Yahweh condemn the whole human race after Adam and Eve sinned? Why would He commit them to be born as natural born sinners? Just because of Adam's sin. Because Joseph, the 11th son of Jacob, he was born as 11th son of the 12, and there's no record that he ever had a sin put on his record. He grew up, there's no record anywhere where he ever committed one sin in his life. Okay, was he born then a natural born sinner? I guarantee if he was, he would have started out showing that he commits sins somewhere along the line. Alright? So it says that by our spiritual birth, we are born righteous. Okay, when we're born again, when we accept present truth, as soon as we accept present truth, then we have, we are born again. We have a spiritual rebirth. Now, I can go along with that. That's reading I'm with the, here with the truth today, present, unrolling truth. It's because I made an oath when I found this truth, the Pearl of Great Price, I found in 1970 with Brother Johnson. I said, this is the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me, and I'll never let it go, no matter what. I'll never give it up. But Satan heard that, and he was there. He sure did put it on me through the years. Oh, man. I'd bring people into the church to join and become members and be baptized at Brother Stephen Johnson at Gilead Center. And those very same people I brought into the church would give up the truth and turn against it, and then the first thing they do is try to get me to turn against it and reject it. I've had at least four different ones to do that to me. Four or five. That I had brought into the church, they turned around the positive side, rejected it, and then tried to get me to throw it over and denounce Brother Johnson. I laughed in their face. And they left the church, and I stayed in the church, and they left and went back to where they came from. By our natural birth, we are born sinners. But by our spiritual birth, we are born righteous. Well, this is good to know. So when I was reborn by accepting the present truth in 1970, I was reborn righteous. Now, you know what righteous by faith is now? Jones and Wagner taught it in 1888. They said, we have a new message for the Adventist Church. It's called, the name of it, the title of it is Righteousness by Faith. In other words, they had present a new truth to present to the church. And all the church had to do was just believe what they understood. And they would be termed as born again of having righteousness by faith and present truth. That's all they were required to do. And they were talked out of it by the General Conference president and his leaders. It took the General Conference president and his leaders 40 years to talk the Adventists out of rejecting it completely. From 1890 to 1930, but they accomplished it. They got the whole Adventist latitude to reject it. It took them 40 years. Okay, there's more to it than meets the eye, folks. Okay, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance. And again, we've got a missing word. And that's a key preposition. Anytime you have a verb is present true, a present tense action verb, and then you have the as a definite article following it, you've got a bad grammar. Because anytime you see that word verb is present tense, you should always have a preposition follow it. That would be accurate grammar. Okay, that'd be accurately using the English language. Now, faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua is with the substance of the things hoped for, as the evidence of things not seen. Now, I'm sure that the translators that translated the King James Bible in 1611, I'm sure that they translated that with that understanding. I'm sure, just as I'm sitting here, though, that the Catholic Jesuit bribers were there, and they bribed those men and threatened them that if they didn't delete key words out of these scriptures, that their life would probably be in danger. And so the translators, I read in one place, it says they were bribed and to rewriting the King James Bible after they had completed it in 1611. They had to turn around and they had to put in those pagan titles, Lord God and Jesus, in the place of Yahshua and Yahweh, the sacred Hebrew name. And then they had to delete these, drop these key prepositions and articles and nouns and just messed up the whole. But for somebody that has the key to it, to grammar, and the key to the keys of David, it says there in Revelation 3:7, he that hath the key of David. Well, we have the key of David, the house of David here, we have the key of David. So that's why we know to put these key words in there where they belong. So if we have the time, I guess that we're going to have to rewrite the King James Bible. We're going to have to republish it. We're going to have to put these key words in there that was left out. Okay, it says, by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, not by the sight, we know that we are the sons of the Father, Yahweh. Okay. But it says, what does it say in Romans 1:12? What does it say in Romans 1:12? I believe it's 1:12. No, John 1:12. It says in John 1:11-12, he came unto his own, that Yahshua, the Son, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, unto them gave he power to become the sons of the Father Yahweh, even unto them that believe on his name, Yahshua, and the Father's name, Yahweh. If you believed on the sacred name, Hebrew name, then you became a son of the Father. That's through his Son, Yahshua. Okay? It says, let us now, for example, go back unto Noah's day. Now, let's see. It says, by faith, and the blood of everlasting covenant, and not by sight, we know that we are the sons of the Father Yahweh. I just got to read that to you. Citizens of his government. Well, and as such, we submit ourselves unto his rule and love. As such, we honor and rever him as our Savior and King. So, see, we got a problem here. It's first us in by faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, not by the sight. We know that we are the sons of the Father, citizens of his government, and as such we submit ourselves unto his rules and laws. Now look what it said. As such we honor and rever him as our Savior and King. But we honor and rever the Son, Yahshua, as our Savior and King. We don't honor the Father as our Savior and King. Because that's what he created his Son for, to become our Redeemer, Emancipator, Savior, and King. Okay? Let us now, for example, go back onto the Noah's day. For the Noah lived in an exceedingly wicked world, as you know. It was so wicked that as merciful as the Father Yahweh is, he could no longer contain himself while the wickedness went on. You think it's any different today? What does it say in Matthew 24? As it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. when the Son of Man has come at long last. He commanded Noah to build an ark and promised that all, whether righteous or wicked, who would go into the ark would find a deliverance from the awful flood. Since they did not merit such a favor, they were therefore offered deliverance from the flood only through the righteousness of the grace. Now this is a whole new subject. The word grace presents us with a whole new look at this righteousness by faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua. How do we determine what this word grace stands for? There is one scripture in the Bible taken from Romans chapter 5. It says Romans chapter 5. Let's look at it. In Romans chapter 5, verse 9, he says, "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled unto the Father by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Okay. So we're justified by his blood. And then it goes on there in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" It's talking about this word grace. It says in Romans 5, verse 20, it says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by the Yeshua our Savior." Okay. That gives us a little bit more insight on this word grace as we're dealing with it here in our subject. It says, as we continue on, they were to be created with the righteousness and be given life which they did not merit. Thus we see grace taking occasion to save sinners. Okay, so we're talking about the sinners at the flood that was offered salvation. All they had to do is just start walking up that ramp into that Ark of the Covenant and to show their faith. And if they had done that, if they'd all done that, then Yahweh would have shut that Ark down and he would have turned things around right then and there and wouldn't have allowed the flood to save sinners, even be back in the Noah's day. And so, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So sin abounded, and condemnation was pronounced upon it. Then the prophet came along, and he says, "I've got an ark here. All you sinners out there, believe what I tell you, and come into this ark, and you'll be saved. That's your grace, offering to save sinners. And their sins." That was a temporary thing, and their sins. Because if they had accepted that offer, Noah would have had to shut down that ark. Then he could start a revival reformation among the antediluvian people, and he could have taught them righteousness by faith through the grace of the Yahshua that is yet to come. Okay? It says, to save sinners even back in the Noah's day, And so where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Romans 5:20. And in Abraham's time, too, only about 400 years after the flood, the world had sunk deep into the idol worship. And the Yahweh commanded Abraham to get out of his father's house, out of his idolatrous country, and to go into another land. Now that was to be for his own and for the Yahweh's people only. Okay, and as any good or bad who joined up with the Abraham and his father Yahweh, creator, were as freely permitted for the entering into the promised land as were the Antediluvians permitted to enter into the ark. They too, therefore, were given righteousness by the grace. Now, are you understand this righteousness by the grace now? I think they enter into that land even though they weren't purified and qualified to enter into the promised land. All they had to do was believe and follow Moses with that cloud, and they would have went right straight on into the promised land out of the wilderness as sinners. They'd have been purified after they got into the land. But that was offered to them. That's your grace working. I had never seen this before in this life about the righteousness by grace. That is, they were privileged to take their stand for the Father with the Abraham and for the sharing of the blessing, but not because of any good works of theirs, having endured unto the end. For the Abraham, whose faith in the blood of the Yeshua of the everlasting covenant failed not, because the Father of all, who through the righteous by the grace attained righteousness by the faith in the blood of Yahshua. Hence you see that righteousness by the grace starts us out into the righteousness by the faith in the blood of Yahshua. You have to first start off believing in the first step, righteousness by grace, and the future coming of the Son Yahshua, with his blood that represents the blood of the everlasting covenant that is to redeem all mankind from Adam clear down to the end of time, for both the old and the new covenant, for a 6,000-year period. First you have righteousness by grace before the righteousness of Yahshua when he... You can't have the righteousness of Yahshua until after he's born. And then when Yahshua is born, he grew up, and then he developed his doctrine of the righteousness by faith in his blood, and so that changed from righteousness by the grace and the believing in the future of the coming of the righteousness by the blood. Okay, that's the first time I have seen this in this life, folks. This is all new. Alright, it says, the reward of which the righteousness of the Yahshua later in the history came the time that whosoever good and bad alike joined the Exodus out of Egypt. Why? Because they were leaving out of Egypt on the doctrine of righteousness by grace in the wilderness for both saint and sinner. Those that put the blood on their doorpost down in Egypt that left out, all of those Arabs, those Egyptians that wanted to leave out with them, they had to get in behind the doorpost where the blood was. Because those Egyptians didn't offer their own, the blood of their own land. But they got in behind the door, a post that had the blood on it. And that's how come they were delivered into the wilderness of the people with the Israelites at the same time. That's the reason why you had a mixed multitude. Part of that multitude was delivered by righteousness by grace, and part of them was delivered in by righteousness by the faith of the blood of Yahshua, by virtue of having the Passover service down there in Egypt. And that's what thrust them out. That was their ticket to thrust them out of the land of Egypt into the wilderness of people, and then on in into the promised land, where the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Passover that was taught that night and applied. That was their deliverance ticket. That's what delivered them, by believing in that and applying, literally applying the blood as they were commanded. And those Egyptians that saw that, that wanted to be delivered with the children of Israel, they had to automatically believe in that blood and come in behind those doorposts, or they would have been smitten also and left behind. Okay. Later in the history came the time that the whosoever good and bad alike joined the Exodus out of Egypt, found deliverance from the Pharaoh's taskmaster and from his pursuing army. This deliverance they obtained not because they deserved deliverance, but because of the grace of the Yahweh the Father toward them. See Ezekiel 20 verse 1-8. Thus they all were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud, okay, and in the sea, and did all eat that same spiritual meat, and did all drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was the Yahshua, the Son of the Yahweh. 1 Corinthians 10:1-4. Yea, through the righteousness by the grace, none were excluded from the participating in the blessings then offered, having been given righteousness by the grace insufficient to cross the sea, insufficient to cross the Red Sea on into the promised land, and having come into the desert, they were then given the finest chance for the exercising righteousness by the faith and the blood of the Passover. I might just add that right there. The blood of the Passover. That lamb that they slaughtered that represented the blood of the Passover was a symbol of the blood of Yahshua that was offered at the cross by the Yahshua himself. But only those who did exercise righteousness by the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant lived on and entered into the promised land. Now, did you get that? Okay. Those, though, who made no more use of the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant in the desert than they did in Egypt, perished in the wilderness. Finally came the time for the faithful to possess the land. And so it was that only those whose righteousness by the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant sustained them crossed the River Jordan. None others did. And for our benefit, the apostle has left this counsel. Let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of the entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. If you don't understand the differentiation between righteousness by grace and righteousness by faith and the blood, then you're going to come short of this, understand this doctrine that is a key for you to have, for you to enter into the promised land. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with the faith in them that heard it. Hebrews 4:1-2. For so far in our study, we have seen that the Father Yahweh is impartial, that he has endeavored to save all peoples at all times in the same way as he is endeavoring to save us, that he is not experimenting with himself, not saving us one way and others another way. For the kingdom of the Yahshua, I'm going to put the rest of it there, the Son, was at last set up in the promised land. And that was long before Yahshua came and died on the cross. The kingdom of the, well, I say the kingdom of Yahshua, let's back up a minute. The kingdom of the Father, because when Yahshua came, he taught the disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." And who is this thou? The Father is this thou. He taught the disciples to pray after this manner. Our Father, which art in the heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But you know, they had a television program here a few weeks ago, a live television program, and they had three guests on there, and they had a word game, and they said, fill in the missing word. And the Lord's Prayer that Yahshua taught the disciples. And so they put the Lord's Prayer up there on the screen. And they had three guests that was put in one word that was missing, that they left out. And that was the word hallowed. So they put the prayer up there. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, but they left the word hallowed out. Blank, 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 be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. So they asked those three contestants, fill in the right word that is missing here, and you'll get millions of dollars. Well, you'll get I forget how much money was offered. And do you know they could not put that word in there, hallowed? Because they, to show that they didn't even have a clue what it was. And so they didn't get their reward. They showed how bad off the world is. All they had to do was just know that one word, hallowed be thy name. All they knew, they had to know what words was in the Yahweh's prayer, Yahshua's prayer that he taught the disciples. Okay, so they didn't know. And the audience didn't know. They asked the audience. Nobody in the audience knew. So it says, the kingdom of the Yahweh the Father was at last set up in the promised land by his Son Yahshua, and the people were left to continue in the righteousness by the faith in the blood of Yahshua, that as in the times past faith again waned, and the nation became unbearably wicked, so wicked that Yahweh could no longer tolerate it to be called by his name while living in his land. Forthwith, both the temple and the palace, the spiritual and the physical, were leveled onto the ground, and the people were carried away. For the Yahweh nevertheless clung unto his people as a mother clings unto her children. And after 7 decades, having once again extended unto them righteousness by the grace, Yahweh the Father gave unto them the opportunity for the returning unto their homeland, where they enjoyed revival and reformation, but only for a little while. Rather than continue in the righteousness by the faith, they fell from grace and became 7 times worse than their predecessors. Thus it was that the Yahweh was then to have the saving. Thus it was that if the Yahweh the Father was then to save any one member of the nation, he could do it only by the, offering another chance at the grace. For this time he gave the gift of his only Son, Yahshua, as the Savior upon whom the iniquities of all of us all were laid, and hence as a mean and as wicked as were both the Jew and Gentile, they were all invited unto the greatest gift of the grace. And that was the grace which only the life of the Son of Yahweh can give. For the apostles themselves were not for any good deed of their own, but through this gift of the righteousness by the grace, privileged to partake of the righteousness by the faith and the blood of the everlasting Son of the Yahshua. And I'll say that Hebrews 10, verse 19 and 20. And so the unjust, the violators of the law of Yahweh, same thing as the law of Moses, Nehemiah chapter 8 and 9, have always through the righteousness by the grace been invited to come into the righteousness by the faith in the blood of the Yeshua, as the only righteousness that actually receives the reward of the Yeshua's righteousness and of the eternal life. Now says the inspiration, for the just shall live by faith. So here we are again, Romans 1:17 and Habakkuk 2:2. I know that both them places they said righteous by faith, but they left out righteous by faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua. Even though Martin Luther discovered the Romans 1:17 while he was up all night studying the book of righteous by faith, but that's all the further he said. He understood righteousness by faith in the blood, and that's why he went prostrate all night long after he found the light on that subject, that way. But then but the translators wouldn't rewrite it in the Bible. They just said righteousness by faith. No justification by faith. Okay. And of the eternal life, now, now says inspiration, for the just shall live by the faith in the brother of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. What does that mean, if any man draw back? He starts out with righteousness by grace, and if he gets along and he's called to come to graduate into righteousness by faith in the blood, and he draws back from that, then it says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Hebrews 10:38. For the just, you see, live by the faith in the blood of the everlasting Son of Yahshua, but the unjust live by the grace. Grace, you know, is not the final touch of salvation. Okay, so the just lives by the faith, and the unjust lives by the grace. because they didn't make the next step of stepping into the righteousness by the faith in the blood. So they remained unjust. But if they accepted righteousness by faith in the blood, then they were justified. So now that explains Romans 5, 9 to 11. That I just introduced our sermon to. Okay, it says, grace plus faith plus the righteousness of Yahshua are what earns eternal love. So you have to have grace, you know, is not the final touch of the salvation. Grace plus faith and the blood of the covenant, of Yahshua's covenant, plus the righteousness of the Yahshua are what earns eternal love. So, faith in the blood of Yahshua is what is called the righteousness of Yahshua. Okay. For the law, moreover, does not save. For it condemns sin, that's your Ten Commandment law, and upholds righteousness. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans 3:20. Being already a sinner, man is by the law condemned to death. Only by the grace, therefore, can he be set free from the condemnation of the law. But he has to make the step into the righteous, believing in the righteousness of the faith in the blood of Yahshua, of the everlasting covenant. The sinner, consequently, is a lawbreaker. So if he only remains, has righteousness by faith, by grace, if he only remains there and don't advance any further, then he is called a lawbreaker. And the righteous is a law keeper. For the grace, therefore, pardons the sinner, lets him out of the prison, so to speak, and gives him another chance to overcome sin. But faith keeps him free. Faith in what? Faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, and not only the faith in it, but the practice of the law of the sanctuary, that where all this statutes are enjoined and applied, and the blood is practiced at that time. Praying for and asking for remission of sins by the blood of Yahshua that he offers in the heavenly sanctuary at the same time that you ask for here on earth. And it gives him another chance to overcome sin. The faith keeps him free. Faith in the blood of everlasting covenant keeps him free. The sum of the matter is this. Righteousness through the grace is righteousness through the pardon, while righteousness through the faith is righteousness through the behaving, and it is crowned with the righteousness of Yahshua. So that's a pitiful way to try to explain this, and Vicki Hollick, he tried to put the right interpretation on all of these three different versions of righteousness by grace, righteousness by, he says it's righteousness through the pardon. We'll look at that a little deeper. While righteousness through the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant is righteousness through the behaving. I never heard that before. Righteousness through the practice and believing. And it is crowned with the righteousness of Yahshua. That word behaving don't belong in there. It's believing belongs in there. In the place of it. To repeat, grace pardons our sin. No. to repeat grace, pardons, believing in the righteousness by the grace through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, if you want to put it that way, pardons our sins and sets us free by the giving us another chance for the making life what it ought to be. Consequently, if you were under grace or with the grace, you are not under the law. For the grace has made you free from the penalty which the law imposes. Having failed for the attaining of righteousness by the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, the Jews again fell from grace. So they were in grace until the Yahshua offered his blood, and when they didn't accept that, they fell back, and being by the law condemned unto eternal death. They were again given grace, a second chance, through the death of the Son of Yahshua. Those who availed themselves of the grace came into the apostolic congregation, Church of the Nazarene, henceforth to remain free, and were to sin no more, save through a mistake, mishap, or through the short-sightedness, sins of which we are forgiven if we do not continue therein. Okay. This brings in, if I said this hour, contact us at the 11th hour call. This is the end of part one of the righteousness of the Yahshua.